Monday morning, you showed the fight. Friday, I got traveling on my mind. First, you love me, and then you fade away. I can't go on believing this way. Good morning, NFL fans. Welcome to another episode of Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle. I'm your host, Dave Holcomb. We have another great show for you today. We're getting closer and closer to training camp. Can't believe it's already July 7th. I hope everybody that's listening had a great 4th of July. I did, down at the beach. So I hope you were able to get away from your daily grind and enjoy the pretty nice weather, besides the little bit of rain on the East Coast, Hurricane Andrew coming through. But for the most part, I believe, I'm not a heavy weather channel watcher or anything, but I believe for the most part, it was pretty nice across the country and a great weekend. Great calendar year, I guess, because 4th of July fell on a Friday this year. So it was nice to have a really long weekend. So, but we're all back into our daily grind for the most part, I would say, starting on Monday. So I hope you're making this podcast a part of that daily schedule again. We have a nice quick show for you today, I believe. We're going to try and get you in and out again, an off-season show, off-season episode, I should say. So we have actually quite a bit of top stories to get to, at least two stories that really on any given week could be the number one story of the off-season, really, with the Jimmy Graham franchise tag and what's happened in the last 24 hours with Josh Gordon. So we're going to go with Gordon first as our leading story, but we will get to the tight end, a wide receiver debate with Jimmy Graham in our second segment. We will also throw in another guy along with Gordon that's in hot water in terms of getting in trouble with the NFL drug policy. And then, of course, after those two segments, we will get to our fourth and long segment like we always do. We have three new statements for this week, and I'll either agree and go for fourth and long or disagree and punt it away. But here we go. Off the top, wide receiver from the Cleveland Browns, Josh Gordon, already was in trouble because he did not pass a drug test back in May and was facing a year-long suspension. This coming after Cleveland drafted Johnny Manziel and did so well in that draft and did so well to make fans excited again about the Cleveland Browns. The same weekend, Josh Gordon gets suspended for violating the NFL drug policy. Well, he didn't help his case to try and appeal that suspension because over the holiday weekend in Raleigh, North Carolina, Gordon was arrested for a DWI charge. Dave Levin has a great article about Josh Gordon's arrest on our website, footballnation.com. So I encourage you to go check out that article. It came out yesterday, Sunday morning, when the morning after the arrest. According to reports that Levin cited in his article, Gordon was arrested for driving while intoxicated. And police spokesman Jim Sergu, if I'm saying that correctly, said Gordon was taken into custody at Wake County Detention Center after being pulled over going 50 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone on US 70 in Northwest Wiley around 3 a.m. Sunday morning. So the obvious is that, again, this is Gordon putting his, quite frankly, his NFL career in jeopardy. And maybe that's not obvious to everyone. It seems rather obvious, and you would think it would be obvious to him as well. But again, he is violating just a real basic rule that shouldn't be violated. And it's probably put just real simply the best by DeQuil Jackson, the Cleveland Browns former linebacker. His tweet that came out on Sunday afternoon simply said, if you're close to Josh Gordon, please help this kid. It's not about football anymore. It's about picking up the pieces of his life. Gordon is a tremendous talent on the football field. He led the league in receiving yards last year, and he didn't play in two games. Already suspended for violating the NFL drug policy last year. And he did it again this offseason. But missing the first two games of last year, I think a lot of people, myself included, I stayed away from him in fantasy, which if you were smart, you didn't do that. You knew that he was a breakout guy. You imagine what this guy could do in a full season with a decent quarterback? Think of the guys that were throwing to him last year, and he still had 1,600 receiving yards. Just incredible, incredible talent. All the way back to college he was. And he wasn't able to finish his career at Baylor. He went much later in the NFL draft than he should have, a steal for the Cleveland Browns. But now we know why he went so late. Because he can't stay out of trouble. He can't stay on the field. And that tweet says it all. It's not just about football anymore. The obvious is, yes, this guy is putting his football career in jeopardy. It is in jeopardy. But now it's about his life, getting his life back on track. Sure, he, you know, everybody needs, or anybody could need football. If you're a football player, of course you think you need football, and then football is life. But really, it's about making sure that this guy is okay, and it's about him making better decisions so that his life doesn't start to go in a tailspin because he loses something that he loves so much, like football. I'm assuming that he has love for football. I've never talked to Josh Gordon, obviously. So we can center all we want about, you know, the Browns missing Gordon. The Browns came out and said that they were disappointed with this latest occurrence with Gordon. I mean, what else are they going to say? Of course they're disappointed. This is a guy that's trying to get his suspension repealed so that he can play this season, at least maybe half the season or something, get that suspension lowered to less than the whole season. And this obviously doesn't help his case. So Brown's disappointed, and Josh Gordon, I mean, I'm not going to preach to him because obviously he doesn't listen to the show, but it would be wise for him to try and get his life back on track for the Cleveland Browns, but for himself as well. Well, while we're on the subject of violating rules and the drug policy, which Josh Gordon did back in May, there was another casualty to that rule, the drug policy rule the NFL has. Linebacker for the Miami Dolphins, former first-round pick, third overall pick in the 2013 draft, Deion Jordan was caught with an illegal substance, and he will be suspended the first four games of this coming year. A guy that, I mean, he's a young guy. He's only in his second year. Didn't have a huge impact, I would say, on the Dolphins' defense last year. But a guy that's still growing, and is obviously still young, and it doesn't help him or his team. Just like in Josh Gordon's case, it doesn't help his team or this young player to be missing the first few games of the regular season. Now, I don't know yet if Jordan is going to try to appeal the suspension. Maybe get it lowered to two games, which is what Josh Gordon did last year. Maybe Jordan can do that. But he's going to miss at least two games, I would say. As of right now, four games, the first four games of the regular season. Statements by the Dolphins, Joe Philbin, the head coach, said, "We are disappointed to learn about Deion's suspension. Deion has accepted responsibility for his actions and is committed to improving both on and off the field in preparation for the upcoming year." I will give Jordan this. He was very mature in the statement that he had. I mean, maybe it was written by some PR guy in the Dolphins organization, but if he was at all sincere, Jordan really is taking responsibility for this drug, this failed drug test. Lots of players in all sports would try and deny it, would try to appeal it. Maybe he's not going to appeal it because maybe he knows that he did or took something that he was not supposed to take. So he's simply just taking responsibility for that. The quote that or a statement that Jordan released. I recently learned from the NFL that I tested positive for stimulants that are banned under the NFL policy. I worked carefully with my advisors and the union to investigate the test results, and I take full responsibility for the test results. I am very sorry for the impact of this situation on my teammates, coaches, Stephen Ross, and the entire Dolphins organization, fans, and my family as well. I will continue to work extremely hard during training camp and preseason. During the suspension, I will stay in top shape and will be ready to contribute upon my return. That, to me, is a statement from a very mature young man. So I do commend him for that. By the way, I got those quotes, those statements off of NFL.com. Good article about Deion Jordan and his PED violation suspension for 4 games. And actually says at the end of the article that Jordan showed up at Dolphins OTAs a couple of months ago with nearly 20 pounds added to his muscle frame. So the 6'6 linebacker that came in as a rookie last year at 248 pounds put on nearly 20 pounds of muscle. And it was quoted by a reporter of the Miami Herald, said he looked as if he took an air pump to his arms and shoulders. Well, now we know why it looks like he just pumped a little bit of air into his body, because he might have literally been pumping something into his body, something illegal, that is. So, again, Jordan and Josh Gordon, Jordan and Gordon. I didn't mean that for that to rhyme on purpose, but Jordan and Gordon will miss at least 4 games this season. Again, Gordon could be out the whole year pending his suspension appeal. Two young budding stars that will be missed, and it is a real shame that these guys will miss a good portion of the 2014 season. Here comes our first break. I mentioned that I was at the beach this weekend, so what else should we play but the Beach Boys? We'll be back after this song. Cruising at 7, push button heaven, capturing memories from afar. Welcome back to Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle. I'm your host, Dave Holcomb. Don't forget, you can find me on Twitter, DM HOLCOMB. Email me, holcombmdavid@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook, Dave's Football News. I want to get some more interaction on the show. Haven't heard a whole lot of comments back on recent episodes, so please tweet at me, email me, send me a message, and I will get back to you. I love discussing football. If nothing else, let's just talk about football. So in our second segment, we're going to cover Jimmy Graham's situation with the New Orleans Saints and his arbitrator ruling that he is indeed a tight end and not a wide receiver. Now, I like I said at the top of the show, this very easily could have been a leading story in pretty much any other episode that we've done so far this offseason, but with Josh Gordon and his DWI happening in the last 36 hours of this recording, that was the obvious choice to be the leading story. But Jimmy Graham and the arbitrator coming to a decision that he is a tight end, I thought it was the right decision. If you've listened to any of my previous episodes, that is what I was pretty adamant in saying, that Graham is indeed a tight end. If you listen to my other live show with a fellow FN writer, FN senior writer, Tom Pollen, he agrees with me that Jimmy Graham is indeed a tight end. By the way, Tom and I host another radio show, sports show, not just NFL show, but all sports on MTR Radio every Wednesday and Friday night, I-80 Sports Talk. Check us out there. Graham is a tight end, in my opinion. It's a difference of him making $12 million with the franchise tag this year or $7 million with the franchise tag. But the big difference here is they are now, and Graham and the Saints are now in discussion for a long-term deal, and that has to be completed by July 15th, or he or that Graham will have to wait till the off season to get a long term deal. So the only way he is not going to play for that $7 million franchise tag is if his agent, Graham's agent, and the Saints can come to an agreement in the next, next week, because it's already July 7th. I can't believe that. It's already July 7th. So I was thinking 10 days, but it's really, depending on when you're listening to this, it's a week away pretty much. So Graham and the Saints were starting at ground zero is what the report was over the weekend, that negotiations were just starting. But there is a small chance that Graham and the Saints don't come to agreement before the July 15th deadline. And then in that case, Graham has a couple of decisions that he could make. He could, A, play for that $7 million, that franchise tag, sign his tender, and play for that amount of money. Not sign, and then come and hold out, and then eventually play mid-season, come in mid-season and play so he doesn't avoid adding another year to his contract, avoid losing a year of free agency. That's actually his only two options other than coming to a decision of a long-term agreement. But there is a pretty interesting piece on Football Nation this week written by David Guir. Man, I am not good with our writers' names. David G, I'll call him. But the title to his article called Five Reasons Someone Will Steal Jimmy Graham from the Saints. And by the way, David, if you're listening, let me know how you say your last name, because I bring up your work a lot on this show. So it's one of the most commented, it is the most commented article of the week. So that's the place to find it, under the most commented column down at the bottom of the front page of the website. 16 comments so far, 3,000 views on the article. And he lists five places that Graham could possibly go. And it's very interesting. I mean, obviously some of this is speculation on David's part. And, you know, I don't know exactly where he got a lot of what he's saying, but a lot of it makes sense. And the one that I'm going to bring up right here is the Green Bay Packers. Imagine if the Green Bay Packers, who actually have – no, I'm sorry. He's not. They're not listed as having a ton of cap space. But if somehow the Green Bay Packers were able to make enough cap space to trade for Jimmy Graham or take Jimmy Graham off the Saints' hands, which the way you do that is you can put in a claim for Graham or match the offer, I should say, matching the offer that the Saints offer Graham in his long-term contract offer, then you can steal him from the Saints, kind of like what you can do with a restricted free agent. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Now, if a team does that, though, they do have to give the Saints, according to David's article, two first-round picks. So a big price. You're getting Jimmy Graham, but a very big price in giving away your next two first-round picks. And according to David's article, no one has done that, offered a first-round pick for an offer and giving up a first-round pick to a team since Joey Galloway in 2002, the Dallas Cowboys doing that. So it's been a while, and it's been a while because it is such a hefty price giving up a first-round pick or a couple first-round picks. So I encourage everybody else that's listening to go check out David's article to see what other places he lists as possible destinations for Graham if the Saints aren't able to give him a big offer or aren't able to match the offer of some other team. Getting back to the Green Bay Packers, though, why it would be such a great fit. JaMychal Finley paired with Jimmy Graham, I mean, would be a monster of a tight end set. realistically, I mean, that just wouldn't happen in the NFL. You wouldn't be able to pay both of those guys. Maybe you wouldn't be able to have both on your roster. I mean, you don't have enough passes to spread around to both of those guys. But it would be reminiscent of New England with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski a few years ago. That was where David got the idea of a huge tight end set like that for the Green Bay Packers. Plus, the other issue, which I actually really like, JaMychal Finley coming back from his neck surgery. So maybe the Packers want some reassurance that they will get production out of the tight end position. It gives them obvious depth at the tight end position if JaMychal Finley isn't 100% healthy the entire season to have Jimmy Graham on the roster as well. That, I believe, is a long shot. But, I mean, if I'm a Packer fan, I'm definitely getting excited over the long shot of Jimmy Graham possibly coming to the team. Realistically, he's going to be playing with the Saints. They're probably going to come to a long-term agreement, and we'll probably be talking about some monster contract on the show in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, yeah, all for speculation, and check out David's article. Normally, I don't say all for speculation. I don't particularly like speculation, but in the case of David's article, I think it was fun to analyze and talk about where Jimmy Graham could possibly land if not back with New Orleans. Personally, I believe he'll be with New Orleans. It'll be interesting to see if he doesn't come to terms with a long-term deal. Will he sit out? Will he hold out? Because I can tell you for sure, I don't have to speculate this, the Saints are going nowhere without Jimmy Graham on the field for close to the whole season, if not all 16 games. We're going to take another break. Here's another Beach Boys song from their newest album, That's Why God Made the Radio. We'll be back with the Fourth and Long segment. Welcome back to Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle. I'm your host, Dave Holcomb. That last one, Beaches in Mind, probably my new favorite song that I just discovered. You know, there's just so many good songs by so many good artists that sometimes, you know, you get stuck listening to all the classics. And when you actually go and listen to an entire album and pay attention to the lyrics and actually listen, you discover a cool song that maybe not that many people have heard of. So that's my latest, you know, off the beaten track Beach Boys song. Beaches in Mind on their new album from 2 years ago. That's Why God Made the Radio. Anyway, back to football. Fourth and long segment we got coming up here. And I got three statements, three fun statements. And let's just get right to it. Let's start in the AFC with the Denver Broncos. Obviously, last year had one of the best defenses of, excuse me, best offenses. Defense wasn't that good. Best offenses of all time. They scored 606 points. Peyton Manning threw for over 5,000 yards. Actually set a new passing record with 5,477 yards, 55 touchdowns to just 10 interceptions. And he had, what, three different receivers catch 10 touchdowns: Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Eric Decker. His third option, Andre Caldwell, was catching touchdowns at the end of the season. And Knowshon Moreno rushed for over 1,000 yards as the team averaged 4 yards per carry. But their offensive coordinator, Adam Gase, came out and said the Denver Broncos offense can be even better in 2014. And the quote from Gase specifically said, "Oh yeah, we can be better. We can do some things better. We can make better calls. I can make better calls. I can get us in better situations. There are some things we've got our eyes on. Now, look, of course a coach is going to say, I think we can be better. I think we can still improve on this and that and blah, blah, blah. Realistically, though, my statement today, the Denver Broncos offense will improve from 2013 in 2014. I got to punt that away. And not just because of the odds that, you know, something is going to happen. Maybe somebody is going to get hurt. Peyton Manning, age, Father Time, finally catching up to the All-Pro, future Hall of Fame quarterback. Can the Broncos really score more than 600 points? I mean, the odds are against it. But my two big reasons for why I'm going to say, you know, I'm punting this away is Eric Decker left to free agency going to the Jets. And Sean Moreno also left to free agency, who rushed for 1,000 yards and gave this offense, a lot of people might not remember, but Moreno gave this offense a real balanced attack with the running game. Now, the Broncos are hoping that second-year man Monte Ball can step in and take that load and give Manning a viable play-action passing game. Also, the Broncos added a second-round wide receiver in Cody Latimer. So, yes, they have some young pieces and new pieces coming in that could be replacements for Decker and Moreno, but could they really step in and be just as productive? Is Peyton Manning going to stay healthy at the age that he is and repeat scoring more points than any other team in the history of the NFL again for the second straight year? I don't buy it. Sure, they can get better in some facets of the game. Maybe the Broncos' offense overall can be better. But statistically, just statistically, there's almost no way that they can be better than they were last year. It's just not physically possible. They set so many new records. They have to set new records all over again to be better than what they were last year. And it's just really, really hard to do. But if they're able to even get close to the offensive production that they had last year, they will be heavy, I would say, heavy Super Bowl favorites to return at least to the Super Bowl. Not win, but return to the Super Bowl. They would be favorites to do that. My second statement has to do with Ravens wide receiver Torrey Smith. And I said in our second segment, I don't particularly care for a lot of speculation, although we speculated a little bit of where Jimmy Graham might go. We're going to speculate again here. Now, Torrey Smith is playing in his last year of his contract with the Baltimore Ravens. That's really what I want listeners to take away from this this statement. But My statement here today, Smith will play his last season with Baltimore this year. I'm not a huge follower of the Ravens, particularly their front office moves and stuff like that. But they are not historically a team that signs wide receivers to big contracts. They let Anquan Boldin go, a really quite dominant wide receiver. They traded him away for a sixth round pick. Because they needed to get under the cap. So he was dispensable in the minds of the Ravens GM. Smith could very well be falling into that same category that Anquan Boldin did a couple of years ago. So as of now, I mean, we've got quite a bit to go till we have free agency again after this coming season. But I would not be surprised. I'll say that. I will not be surprised if Torrey Smith will be playing or is in his last year with Baltimore, which would be a real shame because him and Joe Flacco have developed some chemistry there. They're both still relatively young players. And remember, Torrey Smith is a Maryland guy. So he's been in that state for a really long time. My last statement here today has to do with Aaron Rodgers and the NFL Network Top 100 players. Rodgers ranked number 11 in the countdown. They haven't released who is 1 through 10 yet, but Rodgers coming in at number 11. So you're telling me there are 10 better players in the league today, just today, than Aaron Rodgers. That's, I guess, my statement, and I'm going to punt that away. I mean, again, they haven't released who those 10 names are. And if I really wanted to, I could probably poke through the list that they have so far and figure out who's not on it yet and determine who's up there. I mean, Tom Brady's got to be up there. Peyton Manning is up there. Adrian Peterson is probably up there. And I don't know. Jamal Charles probably up there. Maybe LeSean McCoy. I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't studied the NFL Network list. But Rodgers at number 11, that just does not sound right. He was injured a lot of last year, so maybe that hurt his ranking a little bit. But there's a pretty nice piece written on NFL.com about the outrage of Aaron Rodgers being left out of the top 10 players in the league, of the top 10 of the list. And the author actually argued that he should be number one. Now, I wouldn't jump to those conclusions. I mean, Peyton Manning did win the MVP last year. And if the list is supposed to be who is the best player right now, who it's not who's had the best career, which again, it probably would go to Peyton Manning, but it's not who's got the most potential, who has had the best career. It's just right now, this year, this day, right now, you know, July 7th, who is the best player? And Aaron Rodgers probably belongs in the top 10, I would say. So I can't believe that he has been left out. And again, it's been, I'm sure the injury last year hurt him, but he, as of right now, he's not hurt. And he very well could play every game in 2014. So that injury shouldn't count against him. But that's why these rankings are kind of silly. Even though they're done by the players, you would think the players would get the ranking right or come as close as possible to the correct rankings. But even that is not foolproof because it's just human nature to underrate or overrate certain players, certain people that are in your division, maybe you have more respect for, maybe less respect for. Who knows what goes into the decision of certain writers, media people, players, whatever. But personally, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with me and the author on NFL.com, that Aaron Rodgers belongs in the top 10 somewhere among the top 10 players in the NFL. By the way, just because rankings are somewhat silly sometimes, I wouldn't deter you from checking out Cooper Allen's NFL Top 100 Players list of 2014. His list of 40 through 21 came out last week or 2 weeks ago. So the last portion of his list, numbers 20 through 1 will come out later this week. I would encourage you to check out both of those pieces. But right now, as you speak, you can check out numbers 40 through 21. And actually, the other parts of the list as well. Players 100 all the way through 21. It's divided up in four different pieces. And by the way, I don't want to give anything away in the section 40 through 21, those players. But there are three guys from the Arizona Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns. And one of them is not Larry Fitzgerald. Do you believe that? Allen has three Cardinal players ranked between 40 and 21 of the best players in the NFL. And none of the three are Larry Fitzgerald. Also, three Cleveland Browns. So go check out Cooper Allen's list. He does great stuff. We're going to take another break, and then we will come back and wrap up today's show. We watch the people who gather here, the uninvited who lost their way, and now we're all here to stay. And it's a strange world. There's nothing to it. Strange world. I'm getting. Welcome back to Football Nation's Monday Morning Huddle. I'm your host, Dave Holcomb. Again, I can be reached on Twitter, DMHOLCOMB. Also at my email address, holcombmdavid@gmail.com. And on Facebook, Dave's Football News. That's all we have for today's show, but I will encourage you to please let me know what you think about this episode, any previous episodes. maybe give me an idea for what to talk about on the next show, which will be in 2 weeks, and we will already be pretty much at training camp by then. That'll be July 21st. So we will talk to you then. In the meantime, I'm going to go and try and find some peace in my mind.